Hi everyone, it's great to be able to communicate God's word to you, into your heart, into your family, into your homes. It's such a privilege to be someone who's going to speak what God is saying from the word of God, from the Bible, because it has power to change everything. And this morning I want to talk about, really, we call it breakthrough prayer, and I know that's a kind of statement that many people use, but I'd like you to just think about what it means in your life before we start this morning. What does it mean to have a breakthrough in prayer? It means that God is doing something that man cannot do, that he is bringing something to pass that is marked by his goodness, by his kingdom, power, ability, and grace, and bringing it here into our lives and our reality. And so when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about something that is so powerful, and it's a dominant theme throughout Scripture. Scripture is full of examples of people who prayed and changed the course of their lives, their futures, their destiny, but also changed the course of their family, whether it's a child or a loved one, or change the course of a nation. And I believe in prayer that really brings something from heaven to bring transformation to the earth. And I know more than anything in these days that we need to be encouraged to pray effectively and to trust God. When we pray, he hears us, so that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us, and we know that we have what we're asking of him. Many people, you know, when they pray, and it's not you guys, I trust, but many people just say their prayers and then go on with their lives. And for a Christian, Paul speaks of it like this in Thessalonians. He said, pray without ceasing. And sometimes I think people think of prayer religiously. They think of, say, like a national game of football or rugby or cricket, maybe not cricket because I don't think they sing the national anthem, but wherever the national anthem is sung, it's got absolutely nothing to do with the game. Everybody's waiting for the game to start. That's why they came. And they just sing the national anthem before as just a kind of thing that they do. But prayer is not to be a thing we do. It is to be a lifestyle. To pray without ceasing, just as we breathe without ceasing. If you cease breathing, you will cease. And so prayer is to be a continuous lifestyle. So it's not just for a pre-game in life. It's not something that we just do before we go out. It's something that we do on an ongoing daily basis. We're to bring the Lord and the kingdom of heaven into everything and every situation we're in. And prayer is conditional. You know, when we pray, God has a promise for us that he will hear us and answer. There are many promises in Scripture. You know, in Chronicles, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear and answer. God promises to heal our land. And that's all conditional on God's people praying. And sometimes, you know, I think we're looking for too much from the government. We're looking for too much from what other people can do. And we need to be looking to the Lord for what he can do, and asking him to change and heal our nation. And God says that if we pray, he will work. Now, of course, we don't ask him for what anything that we want him to do. We ask him for, as Jesus simply taught, as it is in heaven, for it to happen here on earth. And so when we look at what God's goodness, heaven is only full of everything good and nothing bad, then we can say, Father, let that happen here on earth as it is in heaven. And God will impact our lives. We can go through our daily lives with the impact. That's the goal of God in prayer, that heaven actually transforms daily life and destinies and futures and nations. And so prayer is a gift from Jesus to his people. He says, if you ask anything in my name, representing who I am and what I want to do, I'll do it. And in the book of James, we're just going to look at a few scriptures in the book of James this morning. And James speaks about prayer in this way. He says in James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you don't ask. I think that is a travesty to think that we don't actually have things. We don't have God working in a situation because we're not praying. And so God wants to do something. We know it's his will. We have all his promises in his word. We know that Jesus says he wants to transform the earth, individual lives and situations and circumstances, which we all face. And in this situation we are in, no matter what it is, whether it's personal or national, God says that he promises to work if we will pray. So we don't ask, we don't get. And then James also goes on to say it matters the motive in which we ask. So we need to have the right motive in our prayer. Occasionally I'll say I'd love to win the lottery. I think I've used it as an example before, but it's a great example, because, you know, I shouldn't imagine that there's anybody out there who doesn't want to be very wealthy. And probably the only people who want to not be very wealthy are those who are already really wealthy. And I know that actually it's not my goal. But God wants to answer us according to not our own selfishness, but according to his goodness. He knows what's good for us, and according to blessing us and the world around us. So actually, if God could trust me, he could put a lot into my care that I could distribute to others. But if I'm only out to receive for me, then I'm being selfish. But he still wants to bless us. And I just think of there as that movie, The King and I. I know it's an old movie and I can't even remember very much about it, but it makes me think about Jesus. He's the king and he wants to bless his people, the king and I, but it's got to have the mix of his glory, to glorify him, for him to be seen, and for my blessing. So God wants to bless his people, but it's got to have the king as the main goal, and then I, then me, and the people I love and know around me. So the refining work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to refine the motive in which we pray. But if we don't pray, we don't get. And I think it's one of the tactics of the enemy to discourage God's people and stop us praying. Maybe you haven't seen results. Maybe you haven't seen things happen yet. And God wants to encourage us to keep on persevering in prayer. And it's a bit like, you know, if you hit a large rock with a hammer, you just keep going. There will come a day when you hit it the next time and that whole rock will break up and shatter. And sometimes prayer, you just need to keep hitting in the same place over and over until there's a breakthrough, until God brings about that breakthrough that you're asking him to. According as it is in heaven, according to his will. I know very much personally, and you will know in your life, that we need hope in a world that is full of despair. We need to be a people of hope. And when Jesus taught his disciples to look at heaven's with heaven's perspective, he was basically saying, we all need to have a door of hope before we pray. Because many times we look at what's despairing or difficult or impossible or just not working. And we think, where is the hope in this? But God says, if you look up, look to me and look to as it is in heaven, you will have hope and pray hope-filled, expectant prayers. And change earth because you are praying with hope. And the enemy loves to rob hope in every situation we might be facing, or any person's life that looks in trouble at the moment. And God is always the one who opens a door of hope in a valley of trouble, in a difficult situation. And so God says, I need my people to be hope-filled. And when you pray, we need to have hope. Daniel, he was in a foreign land. God's people were in captivity. And he found hope by reading the word. Actually, Jeremiah's word. You can read about it in Daniel. And he's going through the scriptures. And I see the word of God, you know. And I think this is, yes, the word challenged me, changes me. But I see the word of God as a hope-filled promise for me. That I can find promises and hope and faith in the word, like a door. And so every page is a new door, really. Every promise is a new door of hope for my future and for the future of the situations we're praying for. And Daniel, he knew that when he read the word, he knew that God's will for the nation wasn't to be in this state of captivity, but it was to be in a place of blessing and the land of goodness and grace that God had promised for them. And so he prayed. And you know, because this one man prayed, because he saw hope through scripture, he prayed the word and he said, listen to me, act on my behalf, act on what you say for your glory and for your people. Answer me and answer quickly. And I love that. Daniel was like, you said it, Lord. Answer me and answer me quickly. Come and work a miracle in this situation. And God loves the prayer that opens the word of God and brings hope and faith into our hearts, that we see an open door of hope that prays down and brings down heaven on earth. Lazarus was another example. And that the fact that Jesus needed to pray should communicate to you and me, if he needed to pray, we need to pray. And it says, before Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus stood in this situation where there was a lifeless body in a tomb. And he stood there and he said, lifted his hands and his eyes, Father, I can imagine the joy on his face, because he had a hope-filled vision for Lazarus, just as he has a hope-filled vision for you and me. He lifted his hands and said, Father, thank you, you heard me. In other words, he had prayed, God had heard. And you always hear me. In other words, God's always listening to us. We're his children. His delight is in his people. He rejoices over us with singing. He loves to listen to our prayers. And Jesus, as the Son of God, he stood there on earth saying, Father, thank you that you've heard me. You always hear me. But these people may believe. Lazarus, come out. He received in prayer first before the miracle came. And Jesus says, when you pray, believe that you receive it. In that moment you're praying. And then call it in. Call it in. Tell it to be manifest. But you receive from God first. Father, thank you. You've heard me and you always hear me. So this must mean that Jesus wouldn't have been able to do that miracle if he hadn't prayed first. And that's what James is saying. If you don't have, because you're not praying, you're not asking. Now I'm just going to go through a few scriptures quickly this morning. And we're going to be praying for situations that are very real at the end of this. And I'll pray for you and hopefully you'll pray for us. But in James chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 13. And it says here, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person, a righteous man, makes tremendous power available or avails much, brings heaven down, brings the will of God, the goodness of God into our reality. Wow. We're going to start with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? We all go through trouble and pain, tough times. And James says, well, you better pray. And I believe our pain, our trouble, is an invitation to pray for a miracle. It actually moves us, and it should move us as God's children, God's beloved family, that we have a heavenly Father who cares. And if we're suffering, or someone we know is suffering, anyone suffering this morning who's listening to this message, pray. Pray. God will change things through the prayer that you pray. So if I was to say out there, if anyone's suffering, pray and it will change. Pray believing that God is listening and he will answer. As it is in heaven, it will be done in your life. If anyone's cheerful, love that, because it goes from pain to cheerful. Anybody really having a great time at the moment? Just come back from holiday, really enjoying life? Anybody really celebrating all the goodness of God in their lives? Let him sing praise. So in other words, don't be silent, be vocal about how great God is and how amazing and good he is. Praise the Lord. Sing praises. And it's so important that even in the good times, we're still communicating with God through the day, not just praising him when we're in a formal setting, but we're singing through our days. We're praying through our days. This communication with heaven, because God wants to be involved in our daily lives in every way. Praise him. If anybody's cheerful, if that fits you this morning, start singing. Start praising him. Then it says, if anybody is sick, and this is a special kind of word. It's not just about being ill. It's being ill for a long time and being weary. The Greek word there is getting tired. And sometimes, you know, in life, it's not just physically sick. We can just feel worn out and tired. The Apostle Paul, he felt worn out when he was beyond the ability to live through a very tough time. And he said it got so tough, but God helped us through the prayers of other people. And I believe that we're in a day where sometimes, you know, it is relevant to call the elders, the leaders of a church. Email us. Because we can still pray, even though we can't anoint you personally with oil. You can put a bit of oil on you, and we will agree with you and pray for you. So please, if you need prayer and you're weary, we're happy to pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will restore, will heal. And if you've been prayed for like this, thank him that God has heard that prayer. And that he has answered accordingly. He will restore and raise up the sick. Praise God. There is an anointing. There's a power that is released when God's people and when leaders, godly people, pray. Sometimes there's a blockage. And you know, Pastor Andrea had a bit of a blockage in one of her drains this week. She emptied the bath. And she doesn't usually have a bath. I think it was for Reg, the dog. And she had stuff come up that you wouldn't want come up. And sometimes there is stuff in our lives that is a block to the purity and the holiness of God. And not always, but sometimes there is a sin that needs to be repented of before we can receive a breakthrough. I often think people, you know, asking God to do something, but they're living with offense. It's like a block that stops the power of God working. The prayer isn't being answered. And so we need to forgive others and get rid of that muck. We need to be cleaned out through confession. And this scripture says, sometimes, you know, you need to say to someone else who you can trust, that isn't going to go around and tell everybody else or talk about, my goodness, you should know what they're in. But godly people, spiritual leaders, your connect group leaders, people that you know are praying people, go and talk to them and say, look, I need to be accountable for what's going on in my life. I need to confess my sin and hold me to it. Because working together as Christ's body, we're not to walk alone. I know that Jesus is with us, but we're a body. The local church is a place where you'll get help, where you'll get input, and you'll get people praying for you when you are weary and you can't see a breakthrough yourself. And sometimes, not always, sin is the block and we need to confess it. And it does us good sometimes to say to somebody else, look, I just need to be right with God. Will you listen to me? Let's pray together. I'm going to say sorry to the Lord. And you've got to choose the right person for that. You really must choose the right person for that. And God will give you the wisdom, spiritual leaders, godly people who will help you to overcome and see healing and provision and the work of grace in your life. But this word, you know, if anyone's weary or sick or tired, pray for one another. I always think of the four friends who went to pick up their friend who couldn't pick himself up. And you know, he was paralyzed. And you remember they picked him up and said, we're going to take you to Jesus. And that they had a faith-filled, a hope-filled vision for their friend. They'd looked through the door of hope and they saw, hang on a minute, that's what God wants. And we're not settling for this in our friend's life. And I believe praying friends are more important than people you go out to the pub with. And I know you're convinced of it, but we need to be fully convinced. Rather than sometimes just going out to the pub or going for a meal or whatever, say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to take you to Jesus. And even get together with other friends and say, look, they're tired, they're weary, they can't do this themselves. Let's pick them up and take them to Jesus. Because he will hear and he will answer if we go hope-filled and expectant that our God will change what that person is living through and bring a blessing into their lives. This man walked because his friends did this for him. And I believe in praying friends. I'm grateful all the way through my life and ministry to have people around me who pray for me. And sometimes when I'm weary, I just need someone to pick up my weight and take it to Jesus. And they get the answer when I'm not even in a place personally for a breakthrough myself. So we're a body. We're to be brothers and sisters who carry each other's burdens in prayer and bring about a miracle for our friends, faith friends, but praying with faith friends. Always have hope for your friends. Always have heaven's view for your family. Look through the door of hope for your children and say, Father, in your word, let me see how great your plans are for my family. Even if they're not saved yet, look through the door of hope and pray as it is in heaven. Let it be done on earth. Praise God for the power of prayer. James then goes on to say, the effective, God's will, heaven on earth, that's an effective prayer. God's word promises the effective, fervent. Back to the national anthem. You know, sometimes some people sing it with gusto, but actually it's just something to go through before you get on. And sometimes prayer can be like that. You know, when you say grace every day, you might not say it as fervently and heartfelt Father, thank you for your food, for this provision. Thank you, Lord, that you're our provider. Bless it to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Some days you'll go, thank you for this food. God, bless it to my body in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, prayer doesn't work like that. It's got to be heartfelt. And as soon as that prayer unites with your heart, with your passion, your zeal, at that point you're fervently desiring the will of God, the goodness of God for your life or for someone else. When those two things meet, it's a kingdom explosion. It's an outbreak of the kingdom of heaven. It's a breakthrough. The effective, fervent, persevering prayer of the righteous person. Remember, we've just confessed our sins a few verses before. Righteous not just through faith, but righteous because we are putting things right with God and living righteously. The effective, fervent prayer of righteous men and women and children makes tremendous power available. A miracle is coming in through the prayers of the saints. And so, in everything, if you're suffering, if you're cheerful, if you're sick and weary and tired, in everything, get things right with God and pray. Pray. Don't give up praying, and pray for each other. Be interested in other people's godly success. Not just what they want, their plans, but the plans of God for their lives and their destiny. And your future, your blessing, your miracles, and their future, their blessing, their miracles, and the church's growth and the advance of the gospel and the kingdom coming and the return of Jesus is all coming through the power and privilege that we have as children of God who are called to pray without ceasing. I know when I get religious, and I know when I have cold-hearted prayers, and I know it's not cutting, I know it's not bringing the breakthrough. But I just ask the Holy Spirit to help me. And I keep praying. I pray beyond my flesh. You know what I mean? I pray beyond my kind of, oh gosh, I've got to shake myself off and pray. But I pray and pray until I can sense that fire of the Spirit, the passion of Jesus for a situation, and bring heaven into earth. Finally, beloved, before we finish, I have two things I'd like to say. Someone sent me a scripture from Isaiah 35 verse 10, speaking about this week. I believe it's a prophetic scripture. I was very grateful to receive it. And it's about the ransomed of the Lord returning with singing, and they will enter Zion with singing. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. And I believe we need to pray. Pray that we will come back together again. Because we don't have, because we're not asking. And I believe we should be asking God to bring us back safely together so we can worship as God's family. They will enter Zion singing. So not restricted, not with face masks, but in a safe environment, in healing and blessing, so that we can sing again together. But also we have a need as a church at the moment. Sandra Mathers, who works for us as a church, and you'll all know her if you're part of this ministry. She also usually does all the tech side. And praise God for Catherine, who's here working for us this morning. She's in hospital. She's had severe pain in the last couple of days, and she has a fibroid, which they're saying that she needs an operation. And you know, she needs our prayers. Let's be the friends who pick her up and carry her to Jesus. And when Jesus sees our faith and our hopeful prayers, he will answer. And he will provide a miracle for her. Provide whatever is needed. And I believe as we pray, all things will work together for good. That promise is in the context of prayer. All things will work together for good. And when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit tongues, the fruit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can pray and he prays and all things will work together for good. So no matter what situation you're facing, and I know some of you are going through a suffering time, some of you are weary, but some of you are really cheerful. The cheerful ones, praise and pick up some weight. Get praying for others. Go for it this week. And may the grace of the Holy Spirit be upon his people to not give up praying, but to ask, believing that we receive it and we'll have it. Let's pray. Let's, wherever you are, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you hear us and you always hear us. And I thank you, Father, today for those who are suffering, those who are in pain, emotionally, with economic situations, trouble, who are really going through a rough patch. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will bring comfort, that you will bring wisdom, and you'll bring solutions and deliver them out of this trouble. And just as Paul received prayer, Father, we thank you for the supply of your Spirit to turn this around and work it for good. We ask for Sam that you will resolve these issues that she's been facing for many years, and more recently, this extreme situation. Deliver her from evil, we pray, and we believe you for it, and supply all her needs according to your riches in glory. And Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters that we will see the need, look through the door of hope as heaven's view, and pray the promises of God, the kingdom of heaven, and bring your will to pass for our families, unsaved loved ones, and for our nation. Be glorified. Let it be the King's glory and the church's joy to see the answers that are coming because of the prayers of your saints. For your glory, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, and we're looking forward to bringing God's word to you again next week. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.